and it was with a reporter from the Tacoma News Tribune by the name of Sean Robinson, who has been covering this story about the Kuykendall family and their neighbors and friends who have had their lives turned upside down by some creeps who have been hijacking their cell phones by leaving them very odd text messages, calling them and giving them death threats, scaring the you-know-what out of these families. Even when the phones are turned off, they get turned on. Even when the camera lenses on the phone are covered up by tape, somehow the stalkers know what's going on. And Sean said on Wednesday that he was working on a follow-up and had just talked to the family. And I said, well, we'll have to have you back for that follow-up. And so here he is live from Tacoma now on KMOX. Hi, Sean. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm okay. So since we last spoke to you, the family's gotten their phone bill.
Yeah.
and found out that they were paying close to $400 now because these stalkers were sending them all of these messages and nasty voicemails. And what have the authorities been able to determine about this?
Well, so far they're stumped. There's four different local police agencies kind of involved in this. The Kuykendalls live in a very small little town that's kind of in the middle of Tacoma called Firkrest, and there's a small police department there with a sympathetic police chief who knows the family and is inclined to believe that it's not a hoax. And then he's working with the two larger police agencies around the area in Tacoma and Pierce County. They have done search warrants. They have had someone look at the phones. They say they've consulted technical people. They've got one of their own computer crime experts looking at ways that this could be done. And they're a little testy about that because in some respects they view this as minor in comparison to people who are trading child porn and things of a more dire nature. But the publicity is such that they are kind of forced to look into it and devote a lot of energy to it.
Well, I can understand how they would think, you know, we have other crimes that we have to work on, but at the moment, you've got not just one person, but several families who are being cyber-stalked here.
Very true. Very true.
So have the cops talked to people? Have you talked to people that the cops haven't talked to who know how this is being done? Has anybody been able to figure it out?
Well, everybody's got an idea. The one person I've talked to a couple of times is a security expert out of Massachusetts named James Atkinson, who Wednesday suggested to me that this was done via MySpace, which all these teenage girls who are kind of the main targets, obviously they have pages there and, you know, trade little chatter with their friends. And this fellow thinks that a virus was posted on the MySpace sites and that one of these girls inadvertently downloaded it and passed it on.
How did it get into their phones?
Well, phones are computers. Phones are, you know, the phone of today. I mean, you're talking about the iPhone. I was just listening to that.
Yeah.
That is a computer that is equivalent in power to, the best PCs of, maybe a decade ago or even more recent.
Yeah.
So the same capacity is inside these little handheld devices that we all carry around, and they're not nearly as secure as the laptops or the desktops with all their virus software.
So the theory, this guy's theory is that with their phones, they were downloading something from a MySpace page, and that thing that they downloaded had some sort of virus in it that allowed the stalkers to gain control of their phones.
Well, again, go to the iPhone example. There's a full-fledged web browser on that thing. And I'm not talking about the security of the iPhone. I know nothing about it.
Right.
Other phones have web browsing capability. You
yep.
can use your phone as a web browser.
Yes.
So if you can download a virus on your computer via the web, why can't you do it on your web browser on your phone?
I see. And so if it gets into one person's phone, then how did it get into all the other phones? One person calls another and it gets transferred somehow?
The suspicion that this fellow has is that it's disguised in some sort of a spam format. Like, I've looked at these MySpace pages and you'll see posts that say, see who's been looking at your MySpace page without telling you. Click here. And or, you know, download a ringtone here. And you think you're downloading a harmless little ringtone, and there's a Trojan horse piggybacked on top of it that you can't see, and it worms its way into your chips inside your phone and rewrites a portion of the memory, and suddenly they've got control. This is all theoretical. There's one of the things the cops are saying is, look, show us. If this is possible, take one of our phones and show us how it's done. And nobody to this point has actually been able to do that, although I don't know how diligently they've tried to get someone to do it.
So how do the Kuykendalls respond to this? Because it sounds like the police believe that this is a hoax.
Well, they're not ruling it out, meaning the police.
Have the police taken physical possession of the phones and had it happen while they had the phones?
Yes, they have, and no, it didn't. But what the Kuykendalls say is that while their phones were being held by the police and the activity suddenly stopped, their neighbors, you know, kept getting inundated with these same kinds of calls and threats and messages while the Kuykendalls' phones were, you know, out of commission.
Wow. Now, you wrote in today's piece in the News Tribune that after you wrote the first story about this several days ago, about the family's ordeal, that the stalkers went silent for a while, but that they struck again yesterday. How? Or what did they do?
The young woman, Courtney, who is the teenage daughter of Heather Kuykendall, was babysitting a couple of younger kids, and she took them on a little outing in Tacoma. And while she was out there, she had her phone, which her mother had given back to her in case there was an emergency or she needed to contact her. Stalkers called Courtney's phone and said, "We know where you are. You're at this place, and we're over by the orange Jeep in the parking lot." And, you know, naturally there's an orange Jeep in the parking lot, but there's no one to be seen. Then what they do is they call the phone of one of the younger children who is with Courtney, an 11-year-old girl. She doesn't answer it, but she, you know, realizes it's from these same people, and they're bugging her now, and so she starts bawling. And, you know, it's just the same kind of stuff.
And that phone call came from where? Does anybody know?
I don't know that answer yet. I haven't had a chance to verify that one.
Wow. Has anybody else been infected by this virus of stalkers in the last few days, besides this now 11-year-old girl who's been added to the circle of people?
There is another family who live near the Kuykendalls and know one of their one of the other families that was affected, who are neighbors of the Kuykendalls. This last, after the first story appeared, which was a week ago, this family, the Zimmermans, called to say, "Oh, gee, that's, you know, terrible for you. We're really sorry you're going through that." And then suddenly they start getting bombed. But it's the same kind of thing. It's threatening voicemails. It's creepy text messages, and a lot of it directed at their teenage daughter. It's not clear that these are the same people, and the police aren't sure that it is. Even the Zimmermans aren't sure that it is. The threats are a lot nastier. They're a lot more sexual. But there's a creepy little thing where the mom's phone is supposedly taken over. The stalkers take a look at one of the pictures that she's taken and make the phone email it to mom's home account, and it's a picture of the teenage daughter. Now, mom says, "I don't even know how to email photos out of my phone. I know it can be done, but I've never bothered to learn how and never tried it, and I certainly didn't do this."
Wow! Holy cow! Just because this family decided to offer some sympathy to another family that was being affected by this whole thing, now all of a sudden their phone's being taken over and stuff is being emailed or sent out of their phone to other people in their family. It's just like a virus that's latching on to more and more people. And the police have no idea who's doing this.
Well, the prevailing opinion, aside from the hoax theory, is that it's someone who knows this little network of young women and possibly goes to one of their schools is possibly technically gifted or gifted enough to either write a little Java-based virus or find one and send it to the phones. I know that the police have interviewed a number of teenagers who are connected to this in one way or another, and they haven't made much headway.
Sean, has any of this gone beyond simple phone threats? Have there been actual physical threats of any kind? Any confrontations or break-ins or anything like that?
Both the Kuykendalls and the McKays, who live next door, have reported that people have come by their homes very late at night at 2, 3, 4 in the morning and shouted and banged on windows and things of that nature and then run away. And the Zimmermans, this new family I just mentioned, had a creepy thing happen on Sunday where the mom and the dad, who are sort of hung over from all these threats and calls and deeply paranoid, are taking a snooze on the couch, and the daughter is not home. Mom wakes up and hears noise coming from the teen's room, tells dad, go check it out. Dad goes downstairs to check out his daughter's room, and he finds that the window is wide open, the screen has been knocked out, the nightstand has been kicked over, and pictures of the girl have been strewn about the bedroom.
Wow. And now they're completely freaked at this. Now, do all of these people, do they all use the same phone company? Are they all, for instance, on AT&T? Are they all on Sprint? Are they all on Verizon? Do they have a common carrier?
There are two or three separate characters. The Kuykendalls were all Sprint. But the Zimmermans are not Sprint. They are T-Mobile, to my understanding. And I have heard that T-Mobile is a little bit more secure because their company was the one that had Paris Hilton's phone when her contacts were...
Right, her sidekick hacked. Was taken, yeah.
So they are supposedly better, but the Zimmermans are saying, well, you know, this is the carrier we've got. I did talk to Sprint yesterday, and I'm talking to a PR spokesman who isn't a technical security specialist, and he's saying, geez, we don't know of any technology that would do this. But Atkinson, the Massachusetts expert I talked to, says, number one, Sprint is going to say that no matter what, because they have a vested interest in not having people think their phones are vulnerable.
Yeah.
Number two, some of these phones, it may stretch back to the manufacturers of the phones themselves as opposed to the carriers.
Ah.
Some of these phones, especially the Razr, you know, that very popular kind of...
Motorola, yeah.
They rely on chipsets that are manufactured by Qualcomm, and if you go burrowing through the hacker and technical media community, you find people talking about the loopholes and security deficiencies in these particular sets of chips.
Wow. Wow. You know, if I'm in one of these families, that's it for cell phones for me. We're just getting rid of, that's it. We're canceling our contract. The company is not charging me a cancellation fee after all of this because I'm going to raise a major stink, and I'm going to go to Sean Robinson in the News Tribune and raise that stink, by the way. But I'm just going to say to my kids, you know what? You're not going to have cell phones because that's where our problem is. We're going to just get rid of them, and the whole family's not going to have them, and hopefully that'll make the problem go away. Has anybody mentioned that, Sean?
Oh, sure. Oh, sure. And I think that there's a bit of, you know, you ask the family about that and they nod and they say, yeah, we know we could do that. But there's a combination of, look, I want to be able to have my family members contact each other in case there's an emergency.
Yeah.
There's a bit of kind of stubborn, why should I let these people control my life?
If we do that, the terrorists win, that kind of thing.
Exactly, kind of a thing. And I think, this is just my own little speculation here, but my impression is that this is an effort that combines a couple of different approaches. I don't think it's just the phones. I think whoever these people are, and again, presuming it's not a hoax, they are in the area. They know where these people are, and they are close enough in proximity to be able to watch them and kind of add the phone terror as a component of what they're doing. I think it's a sort of a combined set of tactics.
Wow. Well, so, I can't wait to see what you uncover as you continue covering this story. I'm sure you'll have more on this next week.
We will try. If it stays in this kind of pattern where they're not doing anything, it's going to be tough to, you can't just keep on putting out every crackpot theory. I've had people call me and say, it's poltergeist. So.
Yeah, that's what it is. They're here.
Walk to the light.
Corporate spies. But there is, the FBI has used this eavesdropping technique on cell phones in New York. They used it to spy on the Genovese family, and that's in a federal court document where a judge gave them permission.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I suspect they were doing that with the cooperation of the wireless carriers, who absolutely can turn the phones on and off from a distance if they, if law enforcement makes them do it. And I know that out here in the county, the sheriff's deputies consulted the FBI, who kind of dismissed the situation and said, oh, it's just social engineering. So that doesn't, that doesn't move their meter, apparently.
Yeah, I don't even know what that means.
Social engineering, not in the conservative versus liberal context, but in the hacker world context, is doing things to try to make people behave differently.
Oh, I see. I see. In other words, it could just be some hackers who are doing this for the fun of it.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, bullying almost more than stalking.
Right, right. Wow. This is an amazing story, Sean. I appreciate you coming back and sharing it with us. And hopefully we'll hear from you next week with more details on what the heck is going on here. And hopefully, for the sake of the Kuykendalls and the Zimmermans and the McKays and everybody else involved in this, there'll be a real break in this and they'll find the knuckleheads who are doing it.
I have had one deputy tell me that if they do find the knucklehead, he's going to be in a lot of trouble for the moment, and then he's going to get himself a very nice job.
Oh, wow. Hollywood, no doubt.
iPhone 2.0, right there. All right, Sean, thanks. Have a good weekend.
You too.
Sean Robinson, reporter for the Tacoma News Tribune, covering this absolutely bizarre story. We got a break.